You're listening to the most authentic place in sports. It's the Sports Headline Show. Here are your hosts, Sean Davis and Warner Sanker.
What is going on, everybody? Sean Davis, Warner Sanker, back with the mock draft 1.0. You're so excited. SFB. I've been able to do that because, you know, whenever we do the blood pills, it seems like somehow either you or me is like off, and it's really depressing. But yeah, man, I'm really excited. Warner, are you? And let's get I'm excited, man.
Yeah, man. A lot of work going into this draft. Research, time, graphics, et cetera, so let's get on with this. This is 1.0. We're gonna have probably 7 to 8, I believe, is what we're scheduled for before the late April draft. April 28th, I believe, is the date. So yeah, let's get into it.
Really quickly, guys, before we get started, make sure you guys go over and follow us on Twitter at Sports Headline 8, and on, if you want to, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/sportsheadline. We'll have some exclusive draft coverage over there. With that being said, let's get into the number one overall pick, and it is the Jacksonville Jaguars. For the second consecutive season, we both have them taking Evan Neal.
Yeah, and I think that's a no-brainer for him. You just spent your last year's first overall pick on your franchise quarterback, so might as well protect him. Trevor Lawrence both was pressured a lot and did not play well under pressure. So that's going to be crucial, and I think you got a stud here, blue chipper at Evan Neal. 6'7", 351, just a massive guy. No matter who your head coach is, I think this is a no-brainer pick. I know Thibodeau, Hutchinson are really good guys, really good players at important positions, but I think your quarterback's health and thriving is more important than having an elite pass rusher, most likely elite pass rusher. So they've addressed O-line for the most part. That means they can let Cam Robinson go, because he was on the franchise tag, so they don't have to pay him after a so-so year. They get a likely day one star. I'm talking like Tristan Wirfs impact. But at worst case scenario, he's like a Penei Sewell, and he takes a few weeks to get into the groove. But they still do need edge. They still need arguably a receiver behind Chenault and Chark, and then safety is a big need for him as well.
Yeah. Number two,
really DB in general.
Yeah, DB in general. Number two is the Detroit Lions, and again, Aiden Hutchinson. This dude is a freak, a freak of an athlete is Aiden Hutchinson, and you're gonna give mostly Dan Campbell, and I'll talk about this a little bit later on because the Lions do have another pick thanks to the Rams. You make a pick for a player at a position. And I kind of said this last year. I'm like, I'm not sure this is the year. I said last year, I think it's 2 years because I think they got to let Dan like really go all in on the culture, rah-rah, stuff like that.
And also, their offense was not ready for a rookie quarterback. That rookie quarterback, you'd have just been wasting contract years and potentially hurting him, especially with the lack of receivers. And then you wouldn't have had Penei Sewell as well. So there's another hole in your offensive line. So,
yeah, and again, I'll talk about that a little bit more later, but Aiden Hutchinson, 6'6", he's a freak. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate for a reason. He's just a game wrecker, man, and, I mean, very similar to number three, but Aiden Hutchinson probably had the production over our number three guy that I believe we both have going to the Houston
Texans. Another year of experience, just some more experience and a more polished pass rusher, but – Kevon Thibodeau out of Oregon definitely has the lookalikes to, just an absolute game wrecker. Not really refined. He's not really refined his pass rush moves, his skill set, his tool belt. So, you know, again, this is another sort of pick that, you know, this player could be, you know, Myles Garrett, or this player could be Jadeveon Clowney and never really get things going.
Yeah. And again, really quickly, I think these are probably the three best players. Well, there's another guy that's going to come up here soon that I'm like, yeah, that dude's also a freak. But I really want to get this clear really quickly. This is the first mock draft for a reason, because we're kind of, you know, going through things here. We haven't really fully been able to deep dive as much as we want, well, want to yet, but that is coming. So I'd say definitely mock draft 2 and 3. We'll have more. Actually, we'll start seeing grades for these players that have been graded. All right, guys, here at number 4 is the New York Jets, and they take Derek Stingley Jr., the stud cornerback prospect out of LSU. And if you guys do know, we do top 10 positional rankings from the draft. I'm really excited to get to the corners, because between Stingley and some of these other guys, this cornerback class is loaded.
Yeah, but the Jets right here at 4, they're going to go get their number 1 corner. They've got Bryce Hall already, who's going to be a solid number 2. He's just not a number 1 guy right now. But if you can go get your 6'1", 195 guy out of LSU, been starting since he was a freshman, mm-hmm. You go get him. You're going up against the Bills twice a year. And the Jets have a good – or not the Jets, but the Dolphins have a good receiving core, despite their quarterback. And so you go get Stingley, and really the only question was, is it Stingley or is it Kyle Hamilton right here? I think that was really the only question. And, you know, just cornerback is a more pressing position, more important position. And so you go with Stingley to kind of solidify that. And, you know, the Jets have seen some really good corner play. I'm not going to compare him to Darrelle Revis, but they've definitely been missing Revis since his prime was over and he moved on to bigger and better teams, Tampa, the Patriots, et cetera. After that ACL tear, I think it was. Yeah. But number 5, the Giants are going to have their first pick in the top 10, and it's going to be Kyle Hamilton right here. Almost a no-brainer. If the Jets take Stingley, we take Hamilton. If the Jets take Hamilton, we take Stingley. Just I think far and away a better player, especially given your best offensive lineman is off the board, and you've got a good interior offensive line class. You've got two solid tackles with Thomas, and I'm blanking on the right tackle's name, but he had a pretty good decent season last year. So you go with Kyle Hamilton here, kind of take the Jabril Peppers role. I don't know if they end up moving on from Peppers or just moving him into a more of a linebacker, but 6'4", 220, Kyle Hamilton's basically a linebacker with just elite athleticism for Notre Dame, and that's why the Giants pick him right here.
Yeah, I have nothing else to add. Number 6 here, we have differing picks, but I mean, I think the purpose is still the same. I have the Carolina Panthers taking Tyler Linderbaum, easily the best center in this draft class. I thought last year's draft class has some really damn good ones as well, but Linderbaum is up there with the guys like Creed Humphrey. He's just so good,
man. And apparently Josh Myers, if you ask the Packers.
Yeah. You had him taking Kenyon Green. I also like that pick as well for him. The Panthers, man. I mean, part of me avoided
taking offensive line. I mean,
they
could use a quarterback, but their quarterback's just going to be toast, and he's going to be playing like Sam Darnold or Cam Newton or P.J. Walker if they keep the same offensive line. So,
and then also, I was like, not only is it because I genuinely like the quarterbacks in this draft class, so I don't want the careers to be ruined, but I mean, seriously, man, like it's just a dumpster fire here.
And with Matt Rhule saying, we need to rush the ball 33 times a game or whatever.
I mean, yeah. So like, I already like
at I'm least get him an interior offensive line so Christian McCaffrey doesn't get hurt in week 7 and miss the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm already feeling kind of suspect about like, yeah, actually, man, what a rough year for Matt Rhule. I mean, for Christ's sake, hold on, I'm trying to find, because I think they have Michael Jordan.
Yeah, they did. They were starting Michael Jordan. Yeah. Kenyon Green, big dude at Texas A&M. He played both guard and tackle. So they could use help pretty much anywhere on the line. So that extra versatility, and I just think he's a slight upgrade over Linderbaum in terms of just offensive line prospect, not breaking him down from center to guard, tackle, but just as a pure prospect, which – leaves Linderbaum. Actually, our picks just flipped. Linderbaum to the Giants for me, and you got the Giants taking Mr. Green from A&M.
Yeah, they have Andrew Thomas kind of solidified it, and who really played well this year. He had a bit of he really struggled.
He was a really good pass protector. His run game, blocking in the run game was that's going to be developed. But he was a good pass protector for this Giants team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so he really struggled in year 1, but he really took a big step this year to thinking he could be a high-level pass protector. So you go get Kenyon Green because the rest of the offensive line is garbage for the most part. And I think, and again, even with Linderbaum, the Giants and the Panthers have to take quarterbacks. I'm not quarterbacks, gosh, offensive linemen, or their quarterbacks are not going to have very fun seasons.
And the Giants, I mean, Daniel Jones by no means had a good year or a pretty year, but there's at least hope for Daniel Jones as a Giant.
Hoping that they make the right coaching hire. Number eight for the Atlanta Falcons, just a stupid organization. This is why bad franchises stay bad. I feel like there's at least four instances I look up at a day, and I'm like, yep, this is why bad teams stay bad. And the Atlanta Falcons, so.
For example, the Dolphins firing Brian Flores.
Yeah, that's
the Atlanta Falcons just sticking with Matt Ryan. Don't think it's I don't know whether it's Arthur Smith not wanting to rebuild. Their GM not wanting to rebuild, but
you can keep Matt Ryan, but the fact that you're going to sit here and say, no, we don't need a QB, is asinine. You can roll with Matt Ryan for you. Look at what the Niners did. We're going
to
roll with
Terry Fontenot needs to get his act together and draft a quarterback. I mean, it's going to take most of these quarterbacks anyways, because you're not getting Joe Burrow to develop a year. So they're going to go take George Karloftis, a big edge rusher out of Purdue. Their front seven is just soft. They can't stop the run. They struggle to get rushing the passer. Wow. And Grady Jarrett is a good player by no means. He's not a bad player, but he's not Aaron Donald, Chris Jones. He needs some help.
Yeah, and really quickly, by no means is this a shot at George. Like, he is a freak athlete. He had a 23.6 pass rush win rate, which is incredible, right? He had 5 sacks, 35 hurries this season. He only played in 3 games last year. He was a big part of a Purdue team that made a lot of noise in the Big Ten this season, upsetting Michigan State and Iowa earlier on in the year. Damn, man, like, he's a freak athlete, but we want to make sure the Falcons know how idiotic they are, 28-3. Moving on to the number 9 overall pick here, and it's the Denver Broncos. They're going to take David Ojabo. Did I get that right?
Yep, David Ojabo. 6'5", 250, really good pass rusher out of Michigan. Not quite Aiden Hutchinson, which is why he's going after Hutchinson, but just a freaky athlete. He's strong. He's fast. He's got bend. And Denver, with trading Von Miller, with Bradley Chubb not being able to stay healthy, they need some help on the edge. Absolutely. And this is where they're going to find it right here. You've already had – this is now the fourth edge rusher go off the board, along with with a bunch of offensive linemen. The only non-O lineman or edge rusher was Stingley and Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
To the two New York teams.
And really quickly, I don't know about you, but I was heavily considering quarterback. And the only reason why I did not – there's actually two reasons why I did not. Denver might be in play to get one, be a trade, and B, for me, if to draft a rookie QB, it's pivotal who they what head coach they get. That's also a big key for me, because, like, if you're getting,
or at least like offensive coordinator, play caller, if they hire a Matt Eberflus or defensive minded guy,
I was thinking worse, like Dan Quinn. If you're hiring Dan Quinn, no chance in hell. Like, just out of respect for the player, I'm not mocking a QB to Dan Quinn. But, like, if it's Nathaniel Hackett or Kellen Moore, one of these other offensive gurus, if you want to call him that.
Brian Daboll.
No, actually, low-key. Then I might have considered, but either way, I still kind of think they'll get somebody. Well, they have to, whether it's in free agency or in the draft. This free agency, then I think the low, like, has to be Kirk, because Jimmy G, I'm not feeling too happy. I mean, Jimmy G's fine, but you're not winning.
He's just a slightly worse version of Kirk Cousins. But
all right, guys, number 10 here, the New York Jets, a pick they got from Seattle Seahawks in the Jamal Adams trade, which we were notoriously proven right about coming into the year. I was especially lower on the Seahawks. Warner was as well. I actually kind of forget how we did that, actually. But anyway, for you, you had Garrett Wilson going to the Jets. Wide receiver is a sneaky need for them. They did just address it with Elijah Moore. They had Denzel Mims, who I believe was injured this season. He'll be back, along with Corey Davis.
I want them to get that, you know, number one target. Yeah, Corey Davis had a good season and then he got hurt, but I want them to have that Garrett Wilson, Corey Davis, and Elijah Moore from the slot. I want them to load up on weapons for Zach Wilson. They already picked for both of us offense or a corner earlier, and now they're going to go with offense here, at least for me, and beef up that receiving core.
Yeah, and Dean, he is a stud. And I think this could be a draft for Robert Saleh, a defensive-minded coach, not saying he is Matt Rhule. I'm actually hoping he's better than Matt Rhule for the Jets' sake, where he goes and gets his guys defensively. Dean is a freak athlete defensively. He can play well, really well in coverage. You can blitz him a little bit. I think he's a one-of-a-kind linebacker that really has a lot of potential, especially with a guy like Robert Saleh. And I'm really excited for what they can do. Offensive line, they have Elijah Vera Tucker. Mekhi Becton's coming back. I would hope they can maybe add someone, one of these other pieces that they need off on the offensive line in free agency. I would have to double check to see what's available.
And here's another thing, though. Here's another thing right here with N'Kobe Dean. He is, again, a really good athlete, but he graded out really well in coverage and good against the run as well. Robert Saleh worked with a guy in San Francisco named Fred Warner, who's 6'3", 230, as compared to the 6'2", 225 N'Kobe Dean. So
I think I've heard of that.
I don't mind this pick. Yeah, I think I have too. I think he just got like a huge payday.
I think he's pretty damn good at this football thing.
Like a top three linebacker in the league. But I don't mind the N'Kobe Dean pick. I just think it's a little too high for a linebacker, and it's also receivers more premium position, and your quarterback is what wins you football games, not your linebackers.
Fair. I just don't think that they need a wide receiver in the first round. I think you're fine for a first round perspective with the guys that they have. Coming in number 11, the Washington football team, another pick that we both agree on.
And first quarterback, here we go.
There we go. My guy. So really quickly, guys, go over to NFLSapien.com. I'll have a article, scouting report on Matt Corral. This guy is fun. This is one of the few players I've been able to evaluate so far. He has all the physical traits, man. He has a arm on him. He can make some of the throws. He can make all the throws, actually, not some of the throws. You just hope he can keep developing the mental side of the game, the post-snap processor, and just rookie QB stuff. I think if he pans out well for him, this guy could be a stud. And this is the guy that you need. And that was my best Chris Collinsworth there. But yeah, man, if I'm Washington, I love this pick. And with the receivers you have, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, maybe go get you another guy in the second round because this wide receiver class is loaded. Get your quarterback now.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. He's a guy who can extend plays. He's got good, like, hot reads. He knows how to, you know, get the ball to his number one receiver. Look at Elijah Moore last year. But then he's also a guy who knows how to adapt without his number one receiver. And he had arguably a better season.
Better season without
than him. He did last year with a really good receiver in Elijah Moore. So you love to see the growth that he made and just the physical attributes that he has right here to the football team. But you go back-to-back quarterbacks here. I go Sauce Gardner, boost up that defense. I want to hear your reasoning.
Okay,
like he was just drafted Kellen Moore, I believe, in the third round last year, second round last year. Captain Kirk.
So I like the Ahmad Gardner pick for you. I think Sauce is a great player. And that's obvious, right? I think Sauce is a really good player. But something I've already kind of talked about here, Kirk Cousins might be on the move. This is a roster that I'm not sure Kellen Mond can lead. Kenny Pickett, and this is more of your guy, you evaluated him, but we both kind of have watched him a little bit. Kenny Pickett's just a better player already coming out, in my opinion. Kellen Mond has some of the physical traits. He can run really well. He can extend plays. I think Kenny Pickett's just
Are you saying better player than Kellen Mond or better than Kirk Cousins?
Kellen Mond.
Okay.
I think Kenny Pickett is more of a fluid passer, more of a better passing quarterback than Kellen Mond. And I think, especially if Kirk is out, be a trade more than likely. I think you go get a QB. I don't think you have to trade up to get one. I think you sit where you're at, and I think you go get Kenny Pickett.
All right, that's fair. They move on from Mike Zimmer. I think corner is a really pressing need. I think they keep Captain Kirk, the offense is going to be able to figure itself out. The defense is what needs a guy like Sauce Gardner.
And let's clarify, if Kirk Cousins is back, I'm under the presumption I think Kirk is gone. So if Kirk is back, then no, you're probably looking at Sauce or one of these other corners. If Kirk is gone, I think you have to go QB. If you trade him, I think you have to go QB.
I would agree there. I don't have the faith in Kellen Mond. I think Kenny Pickett is, for all the reasons you said, a better player than Mond is right now.
But yeah. Number 13 is the Cleveland Browns. We both have them going wide receiver. But we both
have them going Ohio State wide receiver.
But different ones, because you had Garrett Wilson already off the board, and then you have Olave. Olave, by the way, from if you guys knew followed us last year, Olave was one of my favorite guys in last year's draft class. But he shockingly came back for his senior season to compete for a national championship. They unfortunately fell short. They didn't get to the college football playoffs. But and then you have Njigba. Oh my gosh, Ohio State receivers this year were unfair. For you, Olave, just that route runner, probably the best route runner in the draft. Garrett Wilson, really that separator, can get open. And my gosh, I think it was the Ravens game in Baltimore, the one they lost. And I'm like, Baker didn't play that awful. They lost because they couldn't have a damn separator on the field. Like
even Jarvis Landry now coming out of the slot is, I mean, he's not a strength. I wouldn't say he's a liability, but he's not a strength. Rashard Higgins can't separate. DPJ can't separate. And in a scheme that is literally known for separating receivers, that's the problem. Now you can get into the Kevin Stefanski doesn't want Baker to succeed. He doesn't like Baker as his quarterback. There's a rift there. I mean, yeah, I can understand that because Nick Chubb ended up touching the ball like three or four times. I don't think Stefanski is a bad coach, but they need a separator bat.
Yeah, and like again, Peoples Jones is fun. Higgins is fun. They have a good chemistry with Baker, especially going down the field, but in that short to intermediate game, especially against a team like the Ravens, where they had damn good corners, especially when healthy, and believe in this game, they only had a Marlon Humphrey, and that's saying something, even though Marlon's a damn good.
And hold on, I would also say, I mean, Garrett Wilson coming in, and honestly, Chris Olave, too, would immediately be their number one receiver. Both better than Higgins, DPJ, Jarvis Landry, whoever you want to say. Is lining up out wide for the Browns.
And the Browns were a sneaky, like we were talking off camera, like who was the toughest team to draft for? Outside of wide receiver, what do the Browns need? Because that defense is loaded. Maybe an edge rusher, actually probably another edge rusher to help
balance. With Clowney hitting the market, maybe an interior rusher.
Yeah.
An interior defensive lineman. And then maybe a replacement for Baker. But
outside of that,
the most glaring. Well, let's see where they go in the second round.
Yeah, so the Browns, they should be good next year. I'm not going to say they are, but
let's not get mistaken. They're paying Baker Mayfield just under $19 million next year. They wouldn't move on from him if they don't think that he's their guy. They think one of these quarterbacks in the draft is going to be day one better than Baker Mayfield. They could easily go with you know, whether it's Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, Carson Strong. Like if it's how our boards played out, for me, it's Kenny Pickett, Carson Strong, Malik Willis, et cetera, et cetera. And then just take off Kenny Pickett there for you. They could go with one of those guys.
Yeah.
You're in a prime spot. I mean, based on how the board is, we think they're keeping Baker Mayfield. Those other quarterbacks have already gone. I don't even know if they would be better day one than Baker anyways.
Yeah.
And so just go safe pick with the receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you believe in Baker still. I'm inclined to believe in him. He played through like four or five injuries, like significant injuries. But I do want to see how this thing with Stefanski ends up. But we spent so much time on the Browns. Let's go to their division rival in the Baltimore Ravens.
Now, this is another – now there's a guy.
He's a really good run blocker, which I think is what the Ravens want. He's a mauler. He's also a good pass blocker as well. And, you know, it's going to be a situation where do you want 6'5", 310 across from Ronnie Stanley? with Lamar Jackson and J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards all coming back? Or do you want Lamar to not have as much time? You have to rely on Alejandro Villanueva. And you know, Lamar, if you can't run the ball, Lamar dropping back and Villanueva protecting him. Or do you want a mauler in the run game, a better run blocker than Villanueva will be or probably ever was? And then Lamar running behind him. It's just – It's the lightning and the thunder, except the thunder comes first.
Yeah, and also, here's the one of the few teams that we kind of mentioned, and like, gosh, they're really hard to draft for. And the Ravens were all those teams for me because I'm like, it's kind of like hard.
The Ravens receivers, man. I mean, your first thought is, oh, receivers. The Ravens don't like drafting receivers. But, I mean, with Mark Andrews, with Lamar showing a better ability to throw outside the numbers and Hollywood Brown, Devin Duvernay really coming into a prime, and drafting Rashad Bateman last year, I think they're just fine at receiver.
Yeah, and then you're like, also another big thing is, it's hard to evaluate this year's team because everybody was damn hurt.
Yeah. You could say edge D-line, but with their defensive scheme, with all the blitzing that they do, does it really matter if you get a premium edge rusher? Sure, you could get another one of those physical big guys like a Za'Darius Smith or Matt Judon to just maul guys at the line of scrimmage, power rush, and get to the quarterback. But you can get – I think it's more important at this stage of the game to, you know, stay with what you've got defensively, have your secondary basically all come back off of injury and just beef up that offense even more, because we saw what Lamar could do in his MVP year. If you give him a better right tackle, it's going to be even more scary.
And even towards the start of this season before he got hurt, and also, in terms of edge rusher, first off, the Ravens don't typically draft edge rushers in the first round. And even I think they might have drafted Oweh last year, but that was really late first. And some of the guys we had mocked to him were already off the board. And that's another guy, Oweh. Looks like a guy who could really play. Number 15 here is the
Eagles Philadelphia. Have back-to-back picks. This one from Miami in the trade down to trade up for Jalen Waddle situation.
Yeah, the idiotic trade that was.
In which the Eagles still got, in our opinion, better receiver.
A better receiver. You have Trent McDuffie, the cornerback from Washington, going. And I have Sauce, because Sauce is on the board still. So another case, same position. It's a position of need. Darius Slay, while he had a hell of a year this year. Just
they need up number two anyways.
Yeah, they need a number two anyways, because Steven Nelson's the number two. And he's just getting older.
Yeah. And you're going to have to replace him at some point.
Yeah, this isn't a knock on big play Slay. He made a bunch of big plays this year. And we might as well just go to number 16 because we're just going to keep talking about the Eagles. 16's same. No, this is the Carson Wentz trade at 16.
Mm-hmm. For Indianapolis.
Same position. Just a different player. You had him taking Jameson Williams, a really good player. Had a damn good year before he unfortunately tore his ACL against Georgia in the national championship game. I am taking Treylon Burks, the wide receiver from Arkansas. To me, Burks looks so much like he just reminds you of DK Metcalf. That's what I see when I watch Treylon Burks is DK Metcalf. And he's just a phenomenal player. 6'3", 225. He had a hell of a year this season in his last year at Arkansas, and then even Jameson Williams, he was great for them, and he was a big part of that offense. I actually really like the fit of Jameson Williams in an Eagles offense. Some of the you can use him on the deep balls, but you also can use him in the short to intermediate game. I really like that fit for the Eagles. Number 17 here, getting to my Los Angeles Chargers. I'm not going to do the greatest team in the world bit. There you go, Warner.
Thank goodness, because they didn't even make the playoffs.
Okay, screw you, bud. You don't have a team. Jordan Davis is the pick for both of us. I know
they can't stop the run. They have a softy line aside from Joey Bosa. I mean, self-explanatory. You're getting 6'6", 340 right here on the interior.
Yeah, this guy is – now, here's a guy that – I'll stop now. He's hands down the best run defender in from the interior in this draft class. He is a freak. You can't do anything about him. Now, the reason why he won't go probably higher than this is because he's not that good of a pass rusher. And that's the thing that really is holding him back. But man, the Chargers.
He's not a bad pass rusher. He's just not one of those top edge guys.
Yeah, just not one of those top edge guys. And yeah, the Chargers really need. I mean, really, really. I mean, he had a run stop rate of 12.2 in the like that 12.2 run stop rate percentage. That is freaking ridiculous, man. I don't think people understand how insane that is. He can contribute a little bit as a pass rusher, but that's not his forte. He is a run mauler. Chargers get him, big time pickup. Number 18, the Saints. Very interesting one. I know some people are going to really.
All right, Sean. I mean, let me go quick. Burks, 6'3", 225. Literally, I mean, just use him as Michael Thomas 2.0. Physical receiver, can run after the catch. Good separator. Jameis Winston under center in the shotgun, whatever you want to say, whatever formation they're in. I would love to see Burks I'm blanking on his name, but Marquez Callaway going downfield, and then Burks and Thomas in a short. Oh, my goodness. That would be a lethal receiving room. Now, Sean, explain.
All right. So I have the Saints taking Desmond Ridder here at 18, the quarterback from Cincinnati. This is definitely a bolder pick. Some people have traded up for Desmond Ridder, and I don't think that's necessary. I don't think you have to trade up to get a quarterback in the teens. Maybe when you get to the 20s, you might have to, but I don't think you have to do that here. So the Saints just sit and they get a QB. Desmond Ridder is a Cincinnati quarterback who really has a lot of potential. And there are certain things that I'm kind of waiting on for. Like, this is kind of just a gut feeling. The Senior Bowl is big. He has to have a good Senior Bowl. I definitely think he could be a first-round. He can definitely be a first-round pick. He has to show some of the accuracy things, NFL accuracy in the pro.
And just touch, too. And placement. I mean,
now
he just misses throws for literally no reason.
He's a damn smart quarterback. Also, his pro day is going to be big, too. I mean, really, the pro day and the Senior Bowl are big for quarterbacks, so like fringy first-round picks.
Yeah. Guys that aren't named Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Justin Herbert. Well, never mind. Not going to say Herbert.
No, it was big for Justin Herbert, too.
Yeah. He is a really damn smart quarterback. He can make a lot of plays with his legs, which I think is kind of big. And also, Sean Payton has showed he doesn't need this guy with this ridiculous arm. Right, Desmond Ridder is a really smart quarterback. He can make a lot of plays with his legs and his pocket ability to move around a pocket. I think we'll learn more as we continue to dive into these prospects. And again, like, you're just taking a chance on a guy. Maybe you bring Jameis back. And if you don't, I mean, after this season, I trust Sean Payton with damn near anybody. Hell, throw me out there. He'll get 6 wins.
Sure. I think they're completely fine with Jameis as of now. They can probably get Ridder if they trade up in the second round. And I think that Treylon Burks would be so good. Sean Payton's shown the ability. Yes, Drew Brees was great with him, but Jameis was playing well as well. Sort of more of that big arm quarterback going down the field.
Can't do that.
And I just find it ironic that the guy who was sticking up for Jameis Winston at the beginning of the year was
even more ironic.
Draft his replacement.
Ironic that the guy that was hating on Jameis Winston is saying no.
I wasn't hating.
No, yes, you were. If I was like supporting him, you were hating him. Roll the tape. We got the footage.
Everybody wants to just have so much hate. It's just criticisms.
Oh,
criticism of you is I think you're reaching for Desmond Ridder, but. Number 19, Philadelphia Eagles. Sean's second inside linebacker goes off the board before my first does, and I go edge here with Drake Jackson out of USC.
Yeah, edge rusher, Drake Jackson's huge. Only reason I didn't go edge, first off, Devin Lloyd's a freak. Another just freak guy.
He's very good.
I don't want to make comparisons yet because I haven't watched him. Actually, I'm going to entertain it, but – really good blitzer, another guy that can really play well in coverage as well, which is huge, not only for me, but for them as well. And this is a team that offensively, I trust Jalen. I'm not sure, or at least I think you got trust Jalen.
Is this getting recorded after that playoff game against the Bucks? That's fresh in our memories.
But also, I think the problem, I don't trust Nick Sirianni. I think that's what it is. I don't think I trust Nick Sirianni. But then, like, offensively, like, look at the other, like, quarterback, I think you're fine. Running back room, you're fine. Offensive line, you're damn fine. You have your number one. I gave them the number two already, I believe, in Burks. And you gave them Williams. And then you have some of these other guys as well. And then it's really just defensively as well, right? Like, I gave him Sauce, I gave him Burks, he gave him Williams, he gave him McDuffie. So the Eagles, I texted you this. I think I texted you this. The Eagles can be so damn good next year if they play this right. And I think with these three picks, along with free agency, the Eagles, man, they're going to be good next year. Maybe.
They could be. But Trey Jackson ended up grading out 87.7 as a pass rusher. He is kind of a liability in the run game. He's under that 50%, you know, mark, that average mark, but he's an outside the tackle line up in the 2-point to 3-point stance. And he's just going to come flying in. You put him alongside Hargrave and Fletcher Cox from the interior playing that 4-3 end spot. I think he's going to be a very good player for this Eagles defense.
Mm-hmm. Number 20, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben's gone. Carson Strong. Like, I get it. Tomlin's a GOAT, but gosh, man, he's still in the quarterback.
You just replaced Big Ben with a guy named Carson Strong. First of all, what a Pittsburgh name. Carson Strong, Big Ben. But 6'4, 215, cannon arm.
Yeah.
It makes too much sense almost.
I believe this is my last QB to go in the first round. I believe Warner has another one, which I kind of hinted at earlier. Yeah. We'll talk about that later, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the Steelers, though, QB and a few linemen away from having a really good offense, and the defense with their front seven. I believe, was Devin Bush hurt this year? I think he missed time.
He might miss time. I don't think he's hurt anymore. Speaking of which, I'm going to check on that. But yeah, number 21, Warner.
New England Patriots, after getting demolished by the Bills. I have him taking corner. You have him taking tackle, Trent Brown's successor. I think they go with Andrew Booth out of Clemson. Just a long corner, 6 foot, 200-pound physical. J.C. Jackson's likely going to be playing on the franchise tag, probably getting the Stephon Gilmore treatment. But their number two corner was kind of a liability. It was Jalen Mills, really, for most of the year. Booth upgrades that. And I think it's a pretty self-explanatory pick. Pretty good man cover corner. He definitely has some things to be desired, but I think he's a solid number two corner to eventually blossom into likely that lead corner role.
Yeah, I really like
the Patriots. The Patriots can definitely develop traitsy corners,
and that's what I wanted to mention. I really love Booth. There's another guy, potentially a flyer, that I would really like. I think it would be a great fit in New England. Kobe Bryant, the Cincy corner, I named after the legend Kobe Bryant, the Los Angeles Laker. But Kobe Bryant, gosh, I feel like talking about like Kobe. But Kobe Bryant, the corner for Cincinnati, he had a phenomenal year, kind of a breakout season playing alongside Ahmad Garner. He's a really another traitsy guy, won't go day one, but I think he definitely could be day two, either late second or a third round guy. And that's why I said, okay, you know, let's go tackle and Justin, you know, being safe, because this offensive line is probably the biggest bright spot for this team. And then hoping, because I think at some point you got to address wide receiver, either in the second round or in free agency. They just don't have enough impact.
Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar are good.
Those are good,
but they're not number one guys.
They have a number one game changer. And I think, this is another loaded receiver class. I think you have an opportunity to get somebody. Number 20.
And then I don't know if you touched on Ake Mekwonu, but just a mauler in the run game, decent pass protector. Damon Harrison, Ramondre Stevenson are going to be even more scary behind him, similar to a guy like Trent Brown.
Absolutely. All right, number 23 and number 22, the reason why bad teams stay bad. You have him taking Okonwu. I have him taking Penny from Northern Iowa. Tua's going to have
Trevor Penning is just huge, 6'7", 321. He can move. And then I just explained Ekwonu, just a mauler in the run game. They need something on the offensive line.
They need something.
And they're getting that something.
Who was going to go into his third offensive system, I believe? No. Did they fire the OC? I think they did, right? Well, I mean, you would have to imagine the new head coach would be able to bring his own staff. If not, I don't know why I'm going to Miami. But Tua's going to his third offensive system in those three years, and third straight year where they neglected offensive line. Tua hasn't had a shot. Not saying he's been good, but he hasn't been given a shot either. I mean, it's not been pretty. Just give him offensive line. Like, literally, just if put five random names in a hat for offensive linemen and just blindfold yourself and pick them out of the hat. Like, it's like, do something at this point. Like, seriously, man. Like, this
as long as one of those names is not Michael Jordan. But I think the only knock, real quick, on Trevor Penning is that he played for Northern Iowa. I think that's the only knock. Yeah. Against him, but he was dominant for the Panthers on the north side of Iowa. For the 23rd pick, the Raiders both have him taking corners. Andrew Booth is off the board for me. We kind of already gave the rundown on Booth, long Trey T corner, who just, you know, has the ability to thrive and develop into a really good number one corner. I have them taking Kair Elam out of Florida. Didn't grade out too well, but he was, you know, he played well against the SEC's best receivers, a loaded receiver conference, and he only allowed 18 catches on 33 targets this season against SEC receivers. So I think that's why you take him, 6'2", 195, long corner. They need corner, and as long as they don't take Damon Arnett 2.0, I think they're thriving here at number 23. Number 24 is the Cardinals.
Number 20.
We both have him going edge. It just is kind of preference on that edge.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason why you go edge, I mean, who knows how long JJ Watt can keep going. He's already really banged up. I think
he's really playing interior for him anyways. They got Marcus Golden as their other edge rusher.
And that's just not going to cut it. And this Cardinals defense, I mean, they also could really use a corner as well. Kind of beating myself up. I didn't pick him a corner, but who cares? Yeah, they could really use a corner. But again, as I mentioned with past teams like the Patriots, it's another really loaded cornerback class. Go get you a guy. I have them getting a freak. I'm not going to pronounce it because I'm going to mess it up. But he's a freak athlete, man. One of the bright spots from a struggling Penn State squad this season.
Yeah, and then Kingsley Engabare, I believe is how you say that. Or out of South Carolina, edge rusher for him. Really good, graded out really well against the pass, not so much against the run, but having him and Chandler Jones, he had a 25.8% pass rush win rate. And then in their 3-4 scheme that they run, having him rushing primarily from outside the tackle spot will just be lethal. And then, of course, he can be your rush end on a linebacker scheme, on a nickel or a dime scheme. So yeah, I think edge is a good pick for them. Corner as well. And sure, they could use some offensive line, but they've got a pretty solid offensive line. I trust their corners well enough. I think edge would be more of an impact for them. But moving on, Joe Shiesty and the Cincinnati Bengals at 25, coming off their first playoff win in 31 years. They still need offensive line. And when I'm taking Trevor Penning, you have them taking, I believe, Blake Rimon is his name.
Yeah, and they just really need somebody that can really play on the opposite of
Bernard. Dang it. Bernard Rimon.
All right,
from Central Michigan, which, again, he dominated for Central Michigan, but that's the only knock right here.
Yeah, he's just a stud. And they need somebody that can play on the opposite of Jonah Williams, because you don't want you go take Jamar Chase last year. That's fine, but you still have to address offensive line. I hope they do this or get a center if there's one available, either free agency or in the draft.
Yep, 26. The Buffalo Bills. who obviously will be picking as of taping before the Bengals, but you know, it's too late. So the Bills at the 26th pick, I have them taking the first linebacker off the board. You have them taking Trey McDuffie. I think N'Kobe Dean would be lethal with Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds for them. And honestly might run Edmonds out of town. I think that it's going to help them be physical against the run. He's good in coverage as well. I think, you know, with him not being able to stop the run, it's going to be just a pretty blatantly obvious pick unless they want to go interior D line or edge where they do lose some free agents this year. But I think you take N'Kobe Dean. I don't think there's an IDL or an edge player that's worth this pick right here, say above Dean.
Yeah, I didn't take you Trey McDuffie. Trey Day getting hurt is huge, and I think they're gonna miss him a lot in this postseason against teams like Kansas City or the Bengals. Oh Lord. Or if they do make a Super Bowl run, they're gonna miss him, whether it's against Green Bay or Tampa or Arizona, who has a loaded receiving room.
The Rams.
He's a really smart corner. I don't think they'll have a problem with him being under 6 foot. He's 5'11". He's still really long, good zone cover corner. I think they're gonna love him a lot. And he's a lot of fun, really traitsy guy. He's gonna go to the Bills and really continue to elevate this defense. And the Detroit Lions, this is what I was talking about earlier. Kenny Pitt, first of all, I'm taking Jameson Williams. He's just a really good player.
Now you go quarterback. You take Hutchinson with the second pick. You took Penny Sewell last year. I think now you go quarterback. You've got a good offensive line. The receivers, again, as Sean's been saying this whole time, you're going to be able to get receivers. Amon-Ra St. Brown has really broke out in the last few weeks of the season. You have TJ Hawkinson, DeAndre Swift. I think now you surround Pickett with that. He's a hard-nosed Pittsburgh kid going to Dan Campbell, redshirt senior. I love this fit right here. I love it.
If this was an elevator pitch, you just
I think I just won the mock draft. I think mock draft 1.0 belongs to me.
I didn't know this was competitive. But no, like if this was an elevator pitch, I think you just sold me. Because again, and I'll kind of explain what my whole thought process was. I think, and I kind of described it earlier, I think MCDC needs 2 years to really get that culture established, right? And he gets his guys in before, because as soon as you give him that rookie QB, and unfortunately, he's probably a placeholder, unless they just become ridiculous.
They did sign him for 6 years, though.
They did do that. But as soon as you draft that rookie quarterback, that clock starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think
the first round, that clock is for 5 years.
That clock's for 5 years.
Pickett already had 5 years of college experience. I think it's right there. Pickett's had to grind through adversity. The Lions have really shown that hard-nosed culture in the last few weeks of the season. I declare myself the winner of Mock Draft 1.0.
I
love the Jameson Williams pick, though. I do love – I don't know if he falls that much, although it could because of the injury. But I do love the Jameson Williams pick. I would also like, you know, maybe a John Mechie there Jackson.
John Dotson maybe even.
Jackson.
This just shows you how
– A lot of good receivers.
And also really quickly, I wasn't made aware that these mock drafts were competitive. I will make adjustments for game two, which would be mock draft 2.0.
Mock two.
But yeah, man, you kind of sold me on a Kenny Pickett pick. I still believe.
I think the only question is, does he fall this far? He's a late first rounder to second rounder in my eyes. And I think this is the perfect spot to both pick him and for him to go. Of course, you had him going earlier. You had all your quarterbacks going earlier. I think you reached for Pickett a little bit. But, that's just my opinion. Going at 12 to the Minnesota Vikings.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Does he start right away in Detroit? Or do you still ride out Jared at least for the first couple weeks of the season? Because Jared's starting, man. Say what you want. Jared Goff can sling that thing down the field.
I I might want to start him. I think it's a camp battle. I think that's where we're coming from. Because yeah, Jared Goff has good traits. I think Kenny Pickett has more athleticism. He has more athleticism. Goff may have a better pure arm, but I think it's going to come down to how well you can execute the offense, how the guys respond to you, and kind of how you kind of control the offense and make plays when you're going 7-on-7 or full pads.
All right, number 28 here. The Dallas –
they will be picking earlier than this.
They will be picking earlier, but really quickly, I just want to say.
Basically just flipped our edge rushers. I just realized this. I had Jackson go, and then you have Ebi Kiti.
It's going to be a challenge pronouncing his name on draft night.
Oh, I can't wait. Roger Goodell is going to come up here and say, and for the 28th pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select
Drake London.
Arnold, edge rusher out of Penn State.
Wrong player. I said Drake London. They have two Drakes. Gosh darn it, Sean. I was trying to say, because you said the 28th pick, and you were saying your team. Pick. Oh, crap. I messed that up badly.
Yeah, no, but yeah, wow. He's about to go up there and definitely say Arnold. But Mr. Arnold out of Penn State, already covered him. Just a really good pass rusher, a decent run stopper, 23% pass rush win rate. Man, that's a hard stat to say. And again, he's an outside the tackle rusher on the edge. Him and Micah Parsons, two Penn State guys. Look out, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Number 29 here is
Kansas City Chiefs, and there's Drake London.
There we go. Yeah, see I knew it in my head already. I was like, okay, he's coming. I was just a pick too early. I haven't taken Alam, the cornerback from Florida. Warner's kind of already described him, but they kind of need one, and this is another team. Dude, like, they have knees, but they don't have knees. It's the Chiefs. That's
all. LeJarius Sneed. He played really well, especially against Devontae Adams. Now Jordan Love was the quarterback, but he definitely has shown flashes.
Yep.
Tre'Davious Ward, I think, is a solid number two corner. Yes, I would like this pick, but you get a physical 6'5", 210 receiver out of USC. He's a guy who he caught a lot of screen passes and a lot of deep balls. He had the most contested catches in the NCAA. He missed some of the season due to an injury as well. So that just shows that's even more impressive. You put him with Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Mecole Hardman. I think they need that number two receiver behind Hill. And sure, you could say he's a number three because of Kelce and Hill. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I think he's an upgrade over Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson or whoever you want to say is their number two wide receiver. And I think that'd be huge and just make the KC offense even more scary.
Oh yeah.
I also don't think there's a good enough corner at this point or good enough lineman at this point to really right tackle at this point to justify picking.
Yeah, and also that's because you had all the really, really, like, all the ones he can make an argument for, those guys are already off the board for you.
Exactly. But moving on, unless you have something else to say.
No,
Tampa Bay Buccaneers here at number 30. Super Bowl win, and now they were 13-4 coming off two very successful seasons. Now, I like that none of us having them drafting a receiver because, again, their receiving room, not even listed on team needs because it is still stacked. I don't care if Chris Godwin walks after being tagged. I don't care if Antonio Brown just disappears into whatever. You've got a good receiving core behind Mike Evans. You've got Tom Brady. You've got three really good tight ends. You're going to be okay. You drafted Joe Tryon. You're going to lose Jason Pierre-Paul. Why not get another talented edge rusher as well? I just don't think there's an interior defender that you can put next to Vita Vea that justifies this pick. I'd rather take Josh Johnson.
Yeah, man. And this guy is just a ball hawk, you know.
Jermaine Johnson. Jermaine Johnson.
Adam taking Roger McCreary, the cornerback from Auburn, senior. Had another really good year. His opposing passer.
Carlton Davis is a pass rusher. And right now, I mean, his market value, he's looking at like 19 a year.
What? You mean corner, correct? Yeah, I'm about to say, you said pass rusher. Come on, man. Yeah, you could potentially replace him with Roger McCreary, yeah, or bring him back. Your secondary's loaded. But we kind of saw what happened when they really got banged up. So I think they might be, you know, talked into and to drafting a corner. But they could definitely use one. Man, this guy is a stud. He had 24 incompletions this season, which leads the nation. Okay, and that's just insane. And this guy, a 57.8 pass rating when targeted. He's had a coverage grade of 89.7.
Not to mention being a senior, having a lot of experience
in the SEC.
Yeah, Carlton Davis is slated to get probably 16 to 19 mil a year, and the Bucks are already strapped for cap, so got a lot of veterans to bring back, and I don't not like that pick if you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But 31, the Tennessee Titans, AJ Brown is a good receiver. But if you pair him with Jahan Dotson out of Penn State, I mean, just
a
freak athlete. He's not a big guy at 5'11", 184, but he's got ups as evidence from that picture. Really crisp route runner, great after the catch, and he can be that kind of short, intermediate Sean McVay, you know, scheme. Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, there we go. Kyle Shanahan kind of scheme receiver. And I love the fit there. And I love your fit too with Chris Olave. I just think Dotson, I mean, both great after the catch, both really good route runners. I think Dotson's a little better after the catch. Olave's a little bit of a route runner. But Olave's not on the board. So I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Also,
and again, just not a good enough tackle or offensive lineman at this point in the first round to justify picking over a guy like Dotson or Olave.
Yeah. And again, I'll talk about Dotson's literally in the next pick, spoiler. And Chris Olave, I've already talked about him, best route runner in the draft class. You pair him with the AJ Brown. We haven't even talked about Julio, but it's because Julio's not as good anymore. And he's aging and he's been really banged up
recently. Missed a lot of time. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
number 32. Oh, go ahead.
Just questioning if you even bring him back. So yeah, there's just a lot of variables in this. But number 32 is the Green Bay Packers, and I have them taking Jahan Dotson. And Warner just summed it up perfectly. I don't even really have to add anything else if I didn't want to. But this guy, here's a guy. I said I was done, but he's really a guy built for this scheme. I kind of said it last year with Elijah Moore, some of these other guys from last year's draft. Jahan Dotson is another one of those guys. John Mechie's another guy that I would just be really ecstatic to see what Matt LaFleur could do with them. And this
really is a hard team to draft for, by the way. Yeah. Look at their team needs. I want to point that out. Wide receiver, tight end, and those are like, do they really need?
Yeah, because
I mean, DeGuara showed promise, I guess, in the last few weeks of the year, getting playing time. Tunyon's coming back off an injury.
And then you don't really know what you got in Rodgers yet. One of the guys I was really excited.
Amari Rodgers, Randall Cobb missed a lot of the year.
Yeah. You don't know what you have in Rodgers. Alan Lazard, the last few weeks.
Has come on a lot.
Really came alive. You have your deep.
And by no means, I mean, both of these guys would be their number two, I think, over MVS, over Alan Lazard. But, I mean, MVS and Alan Lazard are not bad, like rotational pieces. Lazard, great blocker. Good hands, big body, and MVS just that burner deep throw.
Yeah, man, and hopefully the Packers don't have another Josh Myers moment. So that was a fun.
Speaking of even offensive line, I mean, they're getting back David Bakhtiari and Elton Jenkins for sure next season.
And then
their offensive line hasn't even played bad. Myers. I mean, yeah. I mean, their offensive line, other than Royce Newman, has been pretty good. And with Elton Jenkins coming back, Royce Newman should be. Unless Jenkins plays right tackle, Royce Newman shouldn't be on the field.
But yeah.
So this has been the first mock draft.
Apparently Warner won, and I didn't know anything about. Like, I had no clue. I was completely blindsided by the fact that this was a competition. I demand the competition committee to revoke this win. Or
we'll
if
get,
not,
we'll get Warren. We'll get Warren on a group FaceTime before next mock draft. Well, you can appeal it. But thank you guys for watching. Again, our Twitter is at SportsHeadline8. Our YouTube is the Sports Headline Show. If you're listening on podcasting platforms, go drop a sub over there. But please like and subscribe. And we will be back with you in about 2 weeks for Mock Draft 2.0.
Peace out.